I see you. DJ Wayne Williams, spinning the records. Make sure you spin this one, baby. Alright. And last but not least, let's not forget the most talented man in the world on the guitar. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Donnie Lyle.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Home, they're absolutely beautiful light coming off the coal aisles and peeking through the clouds. And as I turn the corner and get at Waimalu, this monstrous rainbow in the rearview mirror. And so you think, wow, I don't know who invented this, but I sure like it. So anyway, that's one of those moments that you can't bottle it, you can't box it and package it, you just want to share it. And I mean, it was spectacular. And I got Mr. Rod Tam, former council member, former state representative and senator, in with me today, and we're going to be talking trash, actually, his and my favorite subject. But anyway, we hope to talk about that and a few other things and taxpayer issues and all. But I want to share take a little time, and I hope all of you understand. And I'm only doing this because I think I owe my listeners an explanation as to I've been getting calls and people approach me on the street and they are bothered. And I'm not manufacturing this. This is real life. And it's so repetitive that I thought, well, maybe I will explain best I could. What I do is a part of a process. That process is affording people hope, not the Obama hope, but real hope, justice, and freedom from abuse by government or by any entity where there is their civil rights. I'm trying to do my little part. So when you see, I get many calls saying, I saw that story and they didn't include you in it. And I know it was yours because I was the one who interviewed with you and called you and tipped you off and what have you. What I want to say with you is this. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about trying to educate people best we can in an atmosphere and an environment where big money owns media. Certain subjects don't get in because of politics, because of the managers or the newsroom's intentions or the owners of it, what have you. These things are reality. So what I do, you take yesterday's article in the Honolulu Advertiser, Star Advertiser. You see there was a front page article. I got a call, two at least, about that article. And yes, on the 14th of July, I actually sent pictures, information, details, some of that details being used in yesterday's article, but no mention of Carol Cox. Well, I don't know what the rationale is and why they don't do it, but let me share this with you. As long as I'm able to get them, as whether it's Pavlov's theory or whatever, as long as I'm able to find it and introduce it into their system of all the checks and balances and all the screenings and all the personality issues that comes with it, as long as I can see that subject matter advancing, that's the hope that I spoke for, the enlightenment, the education. So I can leave tomorrow this planet and or today and not worry about if my name was mentioned. But if the process continues, that's good with me. If the station manager, if the editor is willing to receive information from me yet ignore me, or whatever purposes, that's fine and good. Whatever slant they put on it, you can't change it 100%. So I don't take issue with any of this. So if you're worried about my feelings being hurt, don't worry. I'm a big boy, and this is a temporary place, but I intend to leave a permanent impact on these issues. You take, for example, I'm not going to go into specific details, but there is a series of articles that are written on the Hawaiian Homelands, Department of Hawaiian Homelands. If you Google carolcox.com, or go there and look at the many shows, and, for example, the Stuart Hanchett, in February, we, quote, broke that story about Stuart Hanchett and many of the other issues that showed up in these articles. Understand this and hear me clearly. The Hawaiian people have been defrauded in a way that we as newcomers can't even begin to imagine. But we sit back and we take a snippet and we try to explain it as to how, and we put our emotions with it. Well, I take a different approach. If, in fact, you, Uncle Joe Tassel, this whole process started where I, and while I always tell you I'm not a journalist, I won't be unethical, but I recruited Uncle Joe Tassel. I recruited Michelle Kauhani and encouraged them to come forward and then escorted them by introduction to the rest of the media. I was excluded because I didn't give an exclusive to Rob Perez. And remember, I delivered many a documents on Hawaiian homelands before Rob Perez had even written an article. He wrote an article about the racetrack, and I accompanied Sabrina Grace to try and clarify with him those issues that were written and spoken in that article. And in doing so, I then presented him with many documents regarding the Hawaiian homelands and the issues and what have you, and introduced him to many other things. So was my name mentioned in that article? Doesn't matter. Understand, the Carol Cox way is that if I can plant a seed and then I come back and see that seed sprouting into this magnificent tree, and that tree being the Hawaiian people, will get some kind of redress. We had already posted the letter from the Department of the Interior, which come out later in months later. So don't fret. It's not about me. It's about hope. It's about justice. And if I can ride it on a donkey's ass and have him to parade around and give the message, that's what I'll do, because we're never permanent here. Remember that. So we don't want to make butts of ourselves anyway. We just want to contribute. And if you don't see my name, just see the hope. Just know that. It's if there's this practice for whatever reason, and I want to emphasize that, whatever reasons the stations or the papers don't want to include me because maybe the way I speak or talk about it or deliver it or the naked truth, it's okay. As long as we see a sacred cow, a subject that would never be discussed, that have lingered for years, the Department of Hawaiian Homeland, the abuses. Now it comes out. I'm proud to be part of that process. So having said that, I'll move on, and don't feel sorry for me. And if you don't see it, the next thing I ask you, though, instead of feeling sorry for me or trying to understand why they're excluding my name or won't mention the radio show and articles when they're, it's okay. The biggest concern I have is, what are you going to do once you have the information, no matter how it was disseminated to you, no matter how you came across it? Is it going to shape your mindset and help you draw the conclusion that the native people here in Hawaii were ripped off and still being ripped off? What are you going to do? Are you going to bring your American ways to say, we don't want to be race-based. We don't want to show special preference. But when you take a mountain from people that have worshipped that mountain, not because they're dumb, but because they give thanks to the fact that the streams provided water, the stream provided food, the stream provided shelter, and providing them agricultural support. So when we move in and take that mountain away and bomb it, dynamite it, and take it for gravel or whatever and place houses and condominiums on it, you're not giving race-based preferences. You're trying to offset the embarrassing impact that you've had as a modern people. So let's remember that. So, you know, don't think that Hawaiians didn't use the mountain. They used it. And like many native peoples. But when we new arrivals come, we say, well, you're not using it. We'll just get rid of it. We can use that. We can mine it. We can take the gravel. We can do many of things. So, yes, they were using it. And so this process, let it be. And if the Star advertiser feel that they need to exclude my name, that's okay. As long as we get the word out that people and those people, the native Hawaiian people, and like the Micronesians, I wish I could come clean and get involved in the Micronesian issues, where we've bombed the living daylights out of them and their territory and their properties and what have you, altered their lives, and yet we're now projecting on them. So anyway, I will continue to do what I can, and smile for me. Don't feel sorry, because I have a plan. And that plan is that if I can attach my message to anyone, and if they feel they want to champion that cause, good for them. That's the tree of life in the way I see it. So anyway, and I didn't hear the full discussion about some of you guys threw me under the bus saying that Carol can be moved. But I agree with you. Polka has been here for a long time, and he's a something needed. It's refreshing to have direct talk about Hawaiian issues, any issues, and speaking truth. And I would be just proud to say, of course, I'll move backwards. And I don't know all the details, but again, it would have to go with Barry. And whatever it is that I can do to make sure that this message is out there, that this is a forum. And I invite all of you to use it more. Tune in. Get the word out. This is where you're going to get the truth. So anyway, I'll wait and we'll converse with the station manager and we'll see. But shame on most of you. I heard some of you are so quick to say, yeah, just move Carol. Just kidding now. But anyway, whatever is good for the community, I'm all for it. So let's go. Anyway, good morning, Rod, and thank you for joining me. I talk a lot.
Hey, good morning, Carol, and thank you very much for inviting me once again to your radio show.
Yeah.
I got to say this, basically. You know, I've watched you, I know of you for a number of years, and you're very open to dialogue with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And you bring forth in terms of factual information, not opinionated information like a lot of the news media does, quite frankly.
Right.
It's hard to find factual information in the news media now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I really appreciate. You know, I'm going to nickname you Mr. Sunshine.
Oh, well, that's good. You know what they used to call? No.
They used to call me Mr. Sunshine when I was in the legislature for 28 years. Now you inherit that name.
Yeah, there is a... what's impressive is that people get it, and the people... If I was the big media, I wouldn't be as suppressive, or I would abandon that position, because if they knew what I hear in the voices of these people in their commentary, they're losing trust. Because if they're willing to exclude you or me when you had your show, if you were talking about something, they don't hesitate to mention their other sources, are the bigger media, for example, and I call them bigger. I don't know what that means, but the ones in the click. Oh, our friends over here reported this, but Carol Cox and Rod Tam can sit on the radio show and disclose something for the first time, and they know it, and they will just flat out ignore it. So my message to the media is that while you may accomplish that first step thing in your mind, but you're eroding the trust, further eroding the trust of the people with this kind of behavior. You know, if you don't want to mention the source's name, then what is it? You think Carol Cox is going to compete with them?
Well, you know, I have a friend in public relations. And when I was in the office, in legislative office, he once told me, you know, Rod, you have to observe more carefully in terms of the news reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, you know what the character is of them, in general speaking? And this is from a public relations person mm-hmm. involved in making marketable material,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, news media reporters are, generally speaking, actors and actresses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of competition here, so they have to act their way in, make a lot of commentaries,
mm-hmm.
so they get noticed. And then they get paid higher,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, and I look at it and think, when I see an article, if they never showed my face and never mentioned my name, the only pain that I experience in this whole process is when they change the subject. When you catch a city employee or a city administrator with their hands in the cookie jar and they lethargically drag their feet to do an article, all right? Mm-hmm. Or they take your information and sit on it for weeks and then, boom, there's a front page article. No mention of its source. I don't know if that's disingenuous or what the purpose is or what it's behind it, but it's about trust. And I, by the way, I had invited the Environmental Services Director for the city, Ms. Lori Kaikina, to come on, to call in, and we're going to be talking about the front-end loader issues and all. And so rather than getting sure. just going down a different path here, let's, okay. if you could, we know that the big issue here is that the city has 7 trucks, front-end loaders, and they've had historically problems with keeping these trucks going up and running. But they have a maintenance team, and they have a budget. So what's the problem? And then how is it that some can get this service, Rod, the front-end loader service? We're not talking about the gray cans. So explain to the listeners first. There's a gray automatic can, automated can trucks that pull alongside, pick up your gray can with their arms, and then there's a blue one, that's same. But there's a front end loader that comes in those big bins in condominiums or whatever, in three yards they call it, and you stick in and you raise them up and dump them in the truck in the, from the front. So how is it that some condominiums can get these services, the services, and others can't? And there are many churches, and we'll name them and talk about them. How is that? And historically, how do we arrive at that?
You know, that's a good question, Carol, because I've been looking at the law.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the current law of the city of Honolulu, called the city ordinance. And according to this, and it's in the city county ordinance section 9-3.4, entitled Multi-Unit Residential Buildings,
mm-hmm.
right? In regards to residential trash, whether it be condominiums or apartments, they're obligated to have their own private hauler to take the trash away.
Mm-hmm.
And the specifics in terms of this law are based on health and safety, how to get the job done, take away the trash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's inequity, I would say, from what you told me,
mm-hmm.
in terms of here you have some apartments and condominiums that are getting public services at the expense of taxpayers,
mm-hmm.
property taxpayers, as compared to others who are not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And by the way, generally speaking, your property tax does pay for your trash pickup in general.
Right.
And historically, there have been apartment owners and condominium owners that have been complaining, say, hey, what about this inequity that's happening here? Why do we have to pay property tax and not get a discount if we got to go pay for hauling away our own trash?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big question. It's, you know, it's a matter of fairness.
Right. And I noticed in some of the reports, news reports, it was stated that they may look at this now, revisit it, and take away this service. Historically, it has failed, but it's been in place. So some of the, give you a list of each condominium is receiving the service, that is receiving it, received it twice a week. And I'm going to pull off these glasses here for. So let's just take Pearl City has several routes. I'm going to. The bigger question is, how is it that churches the church gets a free service. There is the Waipahu United Church, Lighthouse Church, Waipio'uka Church, Hillsdale, and then the Makakilo Church, St. Rita, Immaculate Conception Church, Our Lady GC Church, Pohakupuna Church, Jehovah Church, Watchtower, Trinity Lutheran, Missionary Church, Baptist Church, Honolani Schools, and in the Honolulu area, for example, Nu'uanu Congregational, St. Stephen, Salvation Army, Community Church of Honolulu, I guess that's a Hongwanji Mission, Kukui Health Center, Baratania Community Center, Kamakapili Church, and Damien High School, Bishop Museum, Our Lady of the Mount, Full Gospel Church, St. John's Baptist, St. Elizabeth, Ayer Methodist Church, and Philomena Church. So how is it that we can give these free services to nonprofits, and yet the taxpayer can't get the service? And there's many issues, and I'm told by one, and I shared this with you earlier, one official, that they don't get the trash service, front-end loader trash service, many of them, because as a compromise, we give them cheap water.
Cheap water?
Yeah, a discount on their water usage. You were in council, yeah. And you've been. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I have never.
Yeah.
And you know, basically, your water bill is tied in with your sewer charge also too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, in answering to your question, it's administration's discretion,
mm-hmm.
and we got to tighten up the laws here. What is equity? What is fairness?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and clearly, there's no equity and fairness here. Basically, when you think about it, and you put in one nonprofit church against another who buys the services
mm-hmm.
on a private. And, you know, these nonprofit organizations do not pay property tax.
Mm-hmm.
Your service that you and I receive, our home service, for picking up trash and once, twice a week, is based on your property tax.
Right.
It comes from that lump sum of paying your property tax.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And yet these nonprofit organizations organizations are not paying any property tax. You know, so what it is they're getting free service off the back of other property tax.
Right. Payers.
Payers. Yeah. So it's not fair at all.
Some sections, let me get my papers all lined up here. There's issues going on that there are certain codes prohibit, that spells it out, picking up trash. That they don't want you backing, the ordinance does not want you to back up more than 100 feet, which we understand that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, and basically it states that it should be done, for example, here's section B of that revised ordinance of Honolulu. On the evening before the scheduled day of collection, all refuse, green waste, and other recyclable material as designated by the director prepared for collection as here and above provided shall be placed on the street so as to not to impede vehicular traffic. Well, access to these trash bins seems to be a factor now in dictating who gets the service, but it allows for, if you can move those trash bins to an area and allow the truck to get in without, where it can maneuver evenly or safely, you can get that service, but you just have to ask for it. But instead, I saw the article here that was quoting Kahikina. She didn't call in yet, Kahikina. Said the criteria are spelled out and are based on accessibility of our trucks to get to the bins, plus being able to maneuver easily on the on and off the property.
That doesn't make sense at all. You know, be honest, it's not fair.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, then it can be set up where you can pull the bins out and Palehua Hale, for example, in Makakilo. They collect all of the bins and then bring them to one general location, and the truck can safely pull in and get it. But what's happening in some instances, I've been contacted by people out in Makaha in those areas, and they are complaining that the trucks are having to back into the street, into the highway, and that's wrong. Why would the but to service some, but to service others, they say, no, you can't, no accessibility. So therefore, we won't give it to you. So there's not a consistent explanation.
Yeah, once again, the services of the city are based on terms of fees and of fees for services and your property tax. In this case, the picking up of trash comes from the property tax assessment. You know, let me give you an example in terms of how unfair that is right now in practice by the administration of the mayor. And it's been going on for a number of years. And it should be corrected. And the city council has a due obligation to amend the city and county ordinance. Now, Hawaiian Homestead land, and I happen to have one that was in my constituency when I was in office as a representative senator and city council. And it's called Papakalea. Okay. Papakalea, the residents do not pay property tax. Why? Because that is state land. And there is a state law and that the city cannot charge another government entity any taxes. Okay? So those who live in Papakalea and their single-family homes or even duplexes do not pay property tax. But you know what? They get charged a service fee on a monthly basis. And that service fee includes in terms of the sewage fee, like everybody else pays. And that service fee also pays for other services of the city, trash pickup.
Right.
So where's the equity and fairness? Right? You know, a lot of time in my past 28 years, legislation is not adopted based on equity and fairness.
Right.
It's arbitrary and political in many times, to be honest with you.
Well, this thing, trash business, has been a real problem for everyone. And I must say that I think if the politicians, let's say, for example, Kurt Caldwell, Mufi Hanneman, when they first start off, what is it about them that they have to go out and do a little TV piece, a TV spot to say, look here, I'm here fixing the roads. And I mean, just for the ego, I guess, because that little effort does absolutely nothing when around you trash is stacked up in Hawaii Kai, for example. When Caldwell was doing the bit piece of bulky items in the yard there on TV about a month, I'm going to say, ago, trash stacked up and not being picked up. Bulky items and also the front-end loader issue not being serviced properly. What is it about politicians that like to bring attention to themselves, and when they know there's a guy like me out there saying, I'm getting calls from people saying they need help, rats, roaches, bugs being attracted to the trash that's not being picked up. And yet the mayors, and they've all done it, and yet when it comes time to speak on these issues specifically, where is Caldwell in this one? Where was Carlisle in his? Where was Mufi Hanneman? They always showed you what they were doing good, but when things went bad about the same subject that they were boasting originally, trying to pull the wool over your eyes, right? So I think one of the biggest factors that influences or causes these problems of poor service is that if you look back, everybody in the system have been there for a long time, and they've learned bad habits and they've learned good habits. But the problem is, I can give you a list of names that have been in the same place, same time, with the same problems, and each administrator comes in, either promotes some of them, and then bring them out and have them. I need a good shot for the TV. I'm going to want to bring some attention to my administration. Well, be careful. You might bring bad attention. But this revised ordinance, which is Chapter 9, here's some of the conditions that are set already. So you don't need to kill the program. You need to expand it. Mm-hmm. And I suspect, this is my personal opinion, if you don't fix this, and these are taxpayers in the condominiums, if you don't fix it, then you're setting yourself up for a lawsuit. But a more sinister act is, if you don't act on it, I think what is really happening, the underlying current, is to push the condominium owners, the managers, and apartment managers and what have you, to push them out there on the streets so that they could be taken in by the contractors or the private haulers. And I believe that there's a concerted effort on the part, because if you have this dysfunctionality and then you have a problem where when the public says, well, it's not working, oh, well, be careful, we'll cancel it. And then you'll have to go private, right? So, Rod, what happens? Could they do that with the fire department and say, well, okay, because you are a private condominium and a private townhouse, the fire department won't be responding. You'll have to contract with a private contract. Same situation, taxes. EMS, same thing, right? How is it that the city council and the mayor can allow this thing to fester year in, year out, administration after one another?
Well, let me answer in terms of what you said previously first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why is it that government officials or legislators or administration like the mayor or governor only go out there and boast in terms of what they've done?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they don't take action like you do, bringing the issue to the forefront,
mm-hmm.
right, and with the help of the good news media. I say good news media because there are bad news media too.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's because they don't want to be blamed for not taking care of a government problem. Okay, but when there's to be accomplished or credit, they're out there taking the credit.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have commented to me about, you know, I do respect Mayor Kirk Caldwell, on the dump truck or the trash truck in the back, standing up, picking up rubbish and so forth. And I said, oh, boy, what a character he is. That's what they told me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I have no comment, but, you know, basically, you know, when there's credit to be taken, you're going to take it, quite frankly. And that's
right.
A normal characteristic of a politician,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, what happens is these legislators basically react like that because they have no knowledge of what's going on in the community. They're sitting behind the desk. Ironically, I was criticized for being out in the community by the news media and my colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I want to meet my constituents out in the community, whether it be at a park or over some coffee. And, you know,
yeah.
And I didn't mind buying them a cup of coffee or whatever,
mm-hmm.
because that's what the legislative expense was used for, mm-hmm. and I had receipts for it and all that. But, you know, but I did something that was not of the common practice, sitting behind a desk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't sit behind a desk, you get to know what's going on in the community. You can take in the problems. And you don't have to go out there and say, well, I'm taking credit for something that should have been done before. But, you know, the law is not broken.
Right.
The law has to be adjusted to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the law is not fair.
Right.
Okay.
And the application of it, you know, I was sitting here listening to you talk, and I was thinking, you remember that years back, you and I, we went to Wahiwa to the sewage treatment plant.
Oh, yes.
Stinking, smelling, and they'd had spills and all. I couldn't get a single person from city council or the mayor's office to even talk about it. They even issued a letter saying, ban Carol Cox from So you went up with me, and it was pouring rain that day, and we're standing there, and what we were looking at, and you were really interested in, was that fact that that dewatering plant, that big monstrosity that they built that they never used, where they were going to dump the solids, screen solids, in there and then come and suck them out with a truck. One expense over the other expense. I think, what was it, about $1 million spent on that or more for that big green tank to dewater?
Right.
And I always remember you saying, oh, no, don't put me in it because I don't want it to look as if I'm here just for a photo op. I'm here, you know. Remember that occasion?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, well, hey, I don't care about it. I'm going to take a picture of it anyway. You know, if you're here smelling the roses.
You know, I was accused of doing that, basically. Rod, you're on the news so often. What are you trying to do?
You're trying to get your name recognized. Well, people charged as you. You know, only one face can be on TV.
Yeah. But you know what? I didn't mind going out there in terms of hiking shoes and clothing that can go when you're hiking around, basically, to find out what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of clean water. Okay,
yeah.
The Clean Water Act of the federal, basically. And we had a due diligence responsibility. And government doesn't take in on the responsibility.
Yeah. I know one thing, as a government official or elected official, you can't satisfy everyone. And it is a balance. The balance comes when you start putting more rocks in your hand or gifts from one side of specific influence than the other, and you don't check those things to make sure there's a balance, you become compromised. And so you end up leaving trucks. Remember, these stories have already appeared in the Caldwell, the Carlisle administration, the Hanneman administration, where the trucks were just broken. They weren't being fixed. Half the fleet was broken. They bought trucks that couldn't use them. Millions of dollars spent, and the trucks can't be used by the workers. You know, the engineers designed rear-end loaders that would lift the cans up and flip them in the back. They sent people back to the mainland to look at it, engineers that worked for the city. They designed it. The trucks delivered. They tried to lift them up, and all the trash spilled on the ground in the middle of the street. It's these kind of dumb things that, you know, so you don't need to change the law. For example, I was talking about revised ordinance of Chapter 9, that the roadway shall have an adequate turnaround. If there is no turnaround, reversing of the truck shall not exceed a distance of 100 feet. And I see a real reason for that because of safety. And we've had two major incidents, fatal incidents involving the backing. The recent one is up there near IL, right? Two of them have occurred in that general area, backing. Then we saw the other private hauler that ran over a person while backing. So it's important, and I understand the intent of the law is to make sure that you don't have these trucks going to condominiums and all. But you can compensate for that by allowing the apartment manager or condominium manager or the property manager to collect the cans and bring them to an area centrally so that the trucks can get in and out easily. And then so it goes on and says, three cubic yard containers designed for mechanical handling, if used, shall not be placed on the street or sidewalk, but shall be placed within the property to be served in locations directly accessible to the pickup forks of the collection truck. Access roadway requirements for the collection of 3 cubic yard containers shall be that required for collection or private roads and non-standard private roads as provided. Anyway, of this section except the maximum. But the article that talked about, they said that they're, you know, it's a safety. The law is already written. They are actually requiring. And I've, as I say, I've talked to some of the homeowners out there in Makaha and Nanakuli and those areas, and they're trying to comply, but the city's telling its workers and ignoring the workers' complaints that it's not safe. What have they done about it? Nothing. Letters have gone from, and the public has complained, and this new administration have done nothing. But again, it's 8:51, and I had invited the director to call in at 8:30. But I guess she had expressed some concerns that I would beat up on her or be or attack her, you know. But then I see her, she didn't have any. I guess she only appeared in the newspaper because they promised not to ask her any hardball or throw her any curves or play hardball with her.
Well, you know, when you do it in the newspaper, it's basically say no comment, right?
Yeah.
It's harder to say no comment over radio. And then people begin to wonder why not, and then you can... Mm-hmm. Keep on asking the person, and it gets embarrassing for that. But anyway, let me say this. You know, in terms of those areas that don't have the so-called accessibility continuity, what you call the URETA standards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the private sector, when they service in terms of condominiums, they have those tow trucks that bring the trash reciprocal out.
Right.
And then put it back afterwards in order to dump it into the big trash truck,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
With a front loader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if they're going to cite in terms of this audience that you mentioned, the Section 9, whereby you have to have so many square footage in terms of movability and so forth, then we got to amend our building code.
Mm-hmm.
The building code has to be in consistent in terms of what is there in Section 9.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's not, quite frankly. You know, it's all kind of excuses being given, what they think is rational.
Right.
But again, it comes out to that equity and fairness.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here with me. You're listening to the Carol Cox Show. I have my guest, Mr. Rod Tam, former city councilman, state senator, state representative. But I'm going to leave you in this hour, and Rod and I will be back. We're going to talk about, see, I openly said in the opening that I believe there's a conspiracy of sort that they're trying to force the condominium owner or the apartment owners, associations, to go private. Here's my evidence. The city owns the new boilers, correct?
Right, right.
The city owns the landfill, correct?
Right.
So, if the city picks up the trash at the private condominiums, the city is just using tax dollars.
Right.
But then... Remember this new mayor that says he's going to have to come up with innovative ways and creative to be more taxing and whatever, and going to some term he used. Well, here's the theft that's occurring, and they're setting the condominium people up for fraud, compelling them to have to eat an expense. So the city owns the boilers. The private hauler dumping at the boilers have to pay the city per ton.
Right.
So the city then benefits from forcing downstream the private properties, the condominiums, to go and subscribe to the private haulers. And the private hauler take money from the condominium, and the condominium still pays property taxes. And so they haul it to the boiler or to the dump, the landfill, and guess who makes out like a thief? Like a bandit.
The city.
So anyway, well, I don't want to sit around here and say that's a conspiracy. I'm just putting one and one together. And so I think before they take this giant step and then start talking about, well, we need to rethink and we're going to take it away from them, what I suspect and what I've heard, there's some homeowner associations ready to file a lawsuit. So the profit that they think they're going to make might end up be no profit at all.
Oh, okay. You know, basically, those residents or property owners should go also on the basis of fairness and equity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I'm not a lawyer, so you have to ask a lawyer in terms of is there any law based on that.
Right.
Okay. Now, but it's a political issue also, too.
Mm-hmm.
you got to challenge the mayor and the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they don't do something, then you have your recourse in
right.
terms of elections,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you just keep on going after and criticizing them.
Yeah.
And the voice of the people should be heard. And people don't realize, in general speaking, the old saying about you can't fight City Hall, that's not true.
Yeah.
You can if you open your mouth, be vocal about
right.
it.
Yeah. Right. Well, we're going to come back in the next hour. This is the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Mr. Rod Tam. And, if you would, for those of you that love me so much and like to move me down the scale and up to, no, I'm just kidding. Again, do call in. And I think the owners of the station here is quite helpful and care about the community. And I wish you folks would be more proactive in participating and tuning in and listening to some of the other shows. But, I'd be willing to change the hours. And those of you that have missed me, just another hour. It's always online, carolcox.com. So, anyway, we'll do what's good for the community. We'll be back shortly.
On KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Let me know. But my body telling me, yeah, baby, I don't want to hurt nobody, but there is something that I must confess. You want, and I know just what you need, girl. So, baby.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. And there's another good reason to move the hour backwards, because that loud, good music, that aerobic music. Some of you will look forward to that, but others be jamming and having fun. See, I play this music because it's emotional music, and you can get through your bones, and I'll get some of that stress off if you're wondering why I play it. And just because it's good music, man. I mean, can't go around and listen to Beethoven while you're trying to figure out where your next tax dollar going to come from. You know, you don't want to be soothed. You want to be moved and motivated. Anyway, I'm here with Ra Tam. This is the Carol Cox Show. And again, any and all of this that we discuss will be online in about 25 minutes after we go off air at carolcox.com, CarolCox.com. And we were talking about trash, and unfortunately, I'll let Rod share his opinion, give me his insight. I invited the director of the Environmental Services, Lori Kahikina, and I see she had no problem showing up on TV and showing up on in the newspaper. What that tells me is that she thought I would ask hardball questions, and it would just be simple questions. She inherited this, I'm assuming. But if you're not willing to talk and reach out, but what I, if she's not, if she is listening, or if someone, I'm sure apparently if they don't want to come on, they definitely must have heard something or don't feel that this is an appropriate place. But what I would offer you is talk to the employees. Listen to them. Don't shut the employees out. That crew that you have on the top, I have pictures of the gentleman there in Pearl City, the head of that yard, sleeping on the job. Other complaints have been out there that in that same yard, one of the supervisors is watching porno on a routine basis. And there's been formal complaints filed on that. So if I understand, it's a real, you know, huge commentary that you would embrace that type of employee, but you wouldn't come on the show. So good for you. Good for you, Mr. Mayor. I'm sure she consulted you, and you probably. But Ron, you won't hide. And that's just the way it is. If I come across the truth, I'll expose it. I'll be polite about it. And but again, when you eager to go into the papers, because the public, you're going to spoon feed them what you want them to know. That's, but on live radio, there's a danger that a caller may call in or Rod Tam had asked a question. So I understand, Laurie, and with all due respect, I'm not going to be angry at you, but at a minimum, my mother told me when you make a promise to someone or commit to something, you follow through. You know, don't just shirk them off, because that same person, you might see them again. And just be respectful. If you're not going to call in or appear on the show, just call in or let me know or send me an email or something.
You know, Cal, funny you said when you make a promise, you keep a promise. And as my kids were growing up, my kids are adults now. Okay, so I can't call them kids anymore. But anyway, when they were kids, and I said I would take them to the beach, for example. Mm-hmm. And it so happens, I told him on a Thursday. And Saturday came along, and Dad, remember you made a promise to me? You got to keep that promise.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of people remember promises. Mm-hmm. It's your sincerity that makes a difference.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you're not going to, people are not going to trust you anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, I'm in back to this trash thing, and trash is trash. But unfortunately, we weighed it up. There's a thing called taxes, and there's a thing called hard-earned dollar. And today, that hard-earned dollar is more difficult to obtain and acquire and hold on to. So when the city and county of Honolulu knowingly allows its managers and administrators to operate in a level of dysfunctionality that shouldn't be tolerated anywhere. I mean, nowhere should it be tolerated. You don't call them up and ask them to set up props for you so you can appear to look as you're doing some good. You call them in and you give them strict orders. Taxpayers on the right, servants on the left. You're here to serve the public. We pay you. You do the job. We operate legally by the laws of labor laws and all of that, but we can't afford any trickery. You take, for example, in the yard when they say they're going to, there was one comment that we, this is a tribute to Ms. Kobayashi, and she said she'll come on next week. Let's look at the whole process first before we start buying more trucks. And I think that is what should be done, and I hope the mayor is listening. The whole process. We have a system over there in certain yards that the men are operating out on the road driving. They may run low on fuel, and they can't get fuel after 3 o'clock. Because the mechanics, I'm told, this is conveyed to me by the mechanics, leave and go home or something of that nature. So if you're going to look at the whole process, look at the people who sits on top. Go to the middle street yard. If managers and supervisors have the time to go and operate a business, as I had pointed out a couple of years back with one of the supervisors who was collecting metal while on duty and using his time, his official time, to make profit. When you get that kind of behavior, it's true. The entire process should be revisited and assessed and reviewed. But don't stand up and speak as a bully that hinting that if you make noises, then we're going to cancel the whole project. And do what? Throw you to the private haulers, which is, as I said earlier in the closing hours, which is great for the city, because then for every ton that goes across that scale and you're a private condominium, you're paying a private hauler, and the private hauler is going to charge you for that tonnage to dump. And then you're subjected to the cans, if the cans are overloaded, because there's an extra cost in these containers. That and the service of them, they have to wash them, they have to clean them, you have to maintain them, and so it presents a big problem. But what is troubling about this process, the mayor stood back and tolerated this, and on the back of a truck talking about how successful the bulky item pickup was and all, when in fact we're paying some I'm going to loosely say they said one time $9,000 to $10,000 for the contract to roll off Hawaii. So, real quickly, my concerns are these. Roll off Hawaii, how do you get that contract anyway? I'm hoping to see the records later, the bid that went out. How is it that they got it? And so when you look at this list of just on a Tuesday for Pearl City, just picking up cans at Pearl City, one route is 136 cans. And so if that's $19 per can, 136 times 19, then you go to another route, Route 4, 150 cans times 19. The next route is 104 times 19 on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Again, on Mondays and Thursdays, another 140 cans. So two times a week, these numbers. There's another one for 139 cans on Route 5 and 110. So imagine some 600 cans times 19. If that's true, because they gave us different numbers each time, and you ask them, well, how many days are they hired? Well, then they say, well, we hired them for routes, but you know, so you can't trust anything they say, the administration, because, first of all, they were caught with the pants down, just to be honest with you. And I'm just struck by the fact that the same roll-off and some of its entities are involved are the same people with the shipping out of the trash. Or once was involved. So how does Roloff get all this gravy handed to them in an emergency?
You know, basically, government has its procurement laws. And I was going to refer back in terms when I was in the state senate. I was chairman for government operations, which oversaw the procurement laws. We reestablished or recreated the procurement laws to have more equity and fairness. Okay? And it's supposed to be based on certain criteria of what your needs are, for, generally speaking. You know, depending on the type of service contract that is needed. And also, the cheapest way possible, because you're using taxpayers' money. Providing this productivity and efficiency in providing those services, of course, yeah. I would have to look at this contract that's given by the city to roll off company to evaluate it more, to be honest with you, in the due fairness, yeah. But let me say this in terms of overall, and I've learned over the number of years, in my previous profession as a budget analyst, that when you look in terms of budget, especially with government budget, you have to determine in terms of the budget being created for public services versus that of private services. And that means that government has to determine, okay, what services do we not touch, basically, that can be provided by the private services, private companies. And then to determine that, you got to determine on government spending, you know, whether it be federal, state, or city, in this case, the city called Honolulu. Number one, what is government spending based on federal, state, and city laws that's mandated? Number two, is government spending based on federal, state, and city rules and regulations, which cost money to proceed with? Number three, are there government services necessary for the health and safety of the public that need to be provided by the city in this case? And lastly, number four, what are the basic government services that we should provide for? I don't mean creation of government services, quite frankly, to be more fancy at it. Why do we take on more services when we shouldn't be obligated to do so? Like, for example, you know, when I was in a city council, it was something on fanciness, you know, whereby you had bulk pickup service. That cost out so much money. It was supposed to be experimental. But as time got along, we just couldn't afford it on an island-wide basis. You know, the days before when I was growing up, I'm 59 years old, our responsibility of each homeowner was to get rid of your own bulk rubbish. You know, you use your car, you use a pickup truck, you borrow one or you rent one, and you go dump it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we created a service, people are getting lazy.
Right.
They depend on government. But you know what? People out there, you don't realize you're paying for their services,
mm-hmm.
whether you use it or not. And therefore, it's taxed in to your property tax, to be honest with you. So you're
right.
paying more for your property tax. And, you know, it all comes about in terms of productivity efficiency of
mm-hmm.
the government and what is necessary government services. And again, the fairness
mm-hmm.
and equity of it. You know, there's a saying, what is right is right. What is right is right.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been taught that as little kids who were growing up, basically, do what's right.
Right.
But government hasn't done that as a whole.
No incentive. But speaking of the Environmental Services Department and what's being done to correct, they say they're going to look at the whole process. I drive around and I follow these trucks and I videotape them and what have you, both city and the contractors. I was over, there's Park Village, Parkview Village. Guys have to back out on the road. Makaha Shores. The truck has to back into the Farrington Highway. Now, how is it that if they were going, why do we now have to reassess this thing when it's been operating all along? Where was the managers? Why are they forcing, I mean, they authorized the pickup. So why do they, and they know the dangers that associated with backing and backing onto Farrington Highway, then why would the managers force the drivers to pick up at those locations? And then when the news breaks, well, we got to rethink it and got to make sure it's safe. But in fact, while they're speaking out of one side of their mouth addressing the complaints, they're actually forcing or compelling the drivers to take, for example, Makaha Surfside, right? They're going to back. To get out of there, they back farther than 100 feet. So when Kaikina and the others say, well, we're going to fix this and look at the whole process, well, you can't do it half-assed. You have to do it, look at the whole process. And that's what I would have been able to share with her and still can. But again, you and I are not the type of people they like to talk to, Rod. You know, with names like Tam and Cox, we don't know, you know, we don't, and they're just, you know. But you probably would learn something, Mr. Caldwell. Yeah, Rod, Tam's been around a long time, and I've been around a shorter time. No, we're about the same age, are we?
Yeah, I'm 59 but, years old.
But see, here's the problem with you, Ron.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since I met you, you had black hair, and today you still have black hair. Now, come
on. They say it's the genes.
Or is it Rogaine?
And people ask me whether I dye my hair. I said, no, I don't dye my hair.
But, I mean, you were a politician. You should have white hair and bent over by now.
Well, you know, I enjoyed my job for the 28 years. Actually, 31 years I was in the neighborhood board also.
Right.
Prior to being a House Representative in the Senate and City Council, I enjoy helping people
mm-hmm.
and going out in the community talking stories. It's,
right.
it's our local style.
Right.
Right?
Well, these guys, the difference is their local style is that they dictate here today in government. It's like they don't want to listen. They don't want to participate. They only participate, they're calculating. I can talk to the TV stations, and nobody is going to have a direct ability to ask me questions. So anything that comes out, it's after the fact. I can say anything. I'm not going to be challenged. And then in the paper, I can say anything. They're just going to read, and the greatest danger that they may face is the comments on the electronic comment page at the newspaper.
Well, in every administration, whether it be state or city, counties,
mm-hmm.
you have your public relations persons in the office of
right.
the administrator, the mayor, and the governor. And they make goody-goody with the news media,
right?
The reporters, so that in hopes that, hey, you won't, don't ask me questions that I cannot answer, basically.
Right. It's an agreement.
Because they build that relationship, so they figure, oh, you're my friend, and so forth.
Yeah.
But then, basically, you're not one to be called a friend because you're open.
Yeah.
You're Mr. Sunshine.
Yeah, or something.
and basically, you're not afraid of finding the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, I've seen it in all the years I've been in office, whether it be state government or city. The boss, being the governor or the mayors, they have the PR person. And they say, your first job is to make good relationship with the news reporters.
right. That's it. Yeah. They pose the greatest threat.
Right.
And you know, take for example, out there I watched, there's the Mililani Manor. Now, trucks go in and pick up the trash, but they back out into Kipapa Drive. You know, and yet they're saying, well, we're going to have to look at the whole process, and some can put their trash cans here. And some of the bigger problems, like Helelua, for example, you go out there, they move their trash cans, those bins, and they block the fire hydrant, and they block the fire lane. And if the city fails to pick up timely, right, a couple of hours maybe, we can tolerate that. But when the trash backs up for 3 and 4 days and these bins are sitting there loaded, blocking the fire, and then, you know, fires do occur occasionally, why isn't the inspectors and the managers and the superintendents of these yards and the director issuing orders to make sure that you drive through and make sure that this is not occurring, not making the workers back in, meet with those that you do give free service to, meet with them. Even some of the churches they have to back out of. Now, we're doing that for free and not a nickel, because they don't pay anything. But yet. So, give you some examples. We talk about the waste of money and what have you. Here's what's painfully difficult to digest. So, they come across, they fail to keep the trucks operating. Or, in one instance, one of the workers drove from the Honolulu yard, from Middle Street, and went to service the yard, the routes on the Makaha and those areas, and Pearl City routes, Makakilo. He was scolded because he didn't want to go to Makaha for whatever reason. They then had an inquisition of sort to call him in and to ask, here's how the game's played in this town, and especially under the Caldwell administration and the others. The inquisition is initiated. You call that person in, and then you ask him, did the other driver or the other worker convince you not to go, because we want to burn him? So this is what's this new administration, the same old tricks that the other administrations do, right? They're not looking to fix the problem. They're looking to mask it. They're looking to defraud the public because, again, Caldwell has said he need new money. And if he can put the squeeze on any of the condominiums to force them out of the process and then turn around and open the gates at the ball at the H Power, he's going to make some money. And so then that's loose change because, like the landfill, we don't really know how much they take in. And we don't know how much they spend and how much they divert and what they use it for. And then imagine H-Power the same way. You have a cash cow that no one knows how much milk it's giving. So this is what's fanning these flames, and for the condominium owners. Someone called me from Portlock, and I apologize for not getting. They were complaining about the drive on the private roads. But anyway, that's about it.
Thank you. You know, basically what we're talking about comes down to the bottom line. And the bottom line is the administration. In this case, you know, the administration of the city county of Honolulu. How productive and efficient can they be? Mm-hmm. In providing necessary mandated services. Okay. And a lot of times these city county offices are not based on that. Mm-hmm. They come out with in terms of taking care of special interests many times.
Right.
And leaving out others are based on inequity.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what is right is right. Okay. That is overlooked a lot in terms of our government, whether it be state or city,
mm-hmm.
by administration and by legislators. Okay. What we have to do is evaluation of the necessary public services versus that of funding needs. How to create those funds or get those funds. But proper taxation or fees of services.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in terms of historically we all learn about the Boston Tea Party. Taxation without representation.
Yeah, no representation.
That's what we have right here, quite frankly.
Yeah, and it seems that everything is motivated to help a friend out, not a constituent, not a taxpayer, but to help a friend. Most of these decisions, these administrators that get in, that we vote in, unfortunately, that you have to mix the two words, we vote them in, and they proceed to do what they do. To steer us to the slaughterhouse, so to speak. Everything that they do, it's like wasting money. They're talking about cost. How do you get on this list of to be receiving this while all along the city is wanting to do away with this program? How is it explained? What's the logic that I have this list identifying all of the people that condominiums that receive this? It's a handful of them compared to the total number of condominiums. So how is it that they were operating every day, no problem, then when they hit a snag and the trucks break down, immediately, we're going to stop that and consider going private?
Well, basically, you brought a problem to be aware. And then, unless someone brings it out, nothing's going to be done.
Yeah.
It's just plain simple, if I may. You know, let me talk about in terms of what's happening here. And we're talking about the needed necessary government funds
mm-hmm.
to pay for needed necessary public services, such as trash pickup. Okay? And it was the equity and fairness of it. You know what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, because of the inequity, the city council and the mayor, Kirk Caldwell, are looking at 10 bills of taxation on property tax.
10 bills.
10 bills, mm-hmm. variations. And these 10 bills are more like hidden agenda in terms of how to pay for these services that may be of special interest, very frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Or to have services provided to those where should not be provided to.
Mm-hmm.
And basis of special interest to take care of their needs and someone else pays for it, in other words. Like, first bill, basically, it cancels the real property tax. It amends in terms of canceling the exemption for historic commercial real property tax. Mm-hmm. Okay? Second one is chattel land purpose
mm-hmm.
will be taxed. What percentage? I don't know. That's an option. They're not taxed right now.
Right.
Nonprofit. Okay. And also to the third one is whether to tax federal or state credit unions, which was considered nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth is whether to tax vacation and bed and breakfast units.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fifth is to whether to cancel the real property tax exemptions for dedicated lands in urban districts. I'm not sure what that means, to be mm-hmm. honest. Yeah, here you have some special interest, basically,
right.
that they're given. Six is to adjust the amounts of real property tax exemptions for nonprofit medical and hospital mm-hmm. associations. Okay. Seventh is to eliminate a lot of the property tax exemptions for senior citizens who own their property.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now senior citizens live on fixed incomes.
Right.
Many of them only have Social Security. Okay. Already there's over 60% of our population that are senior citizens in the city county of Honolulu. Okay. And many of the resident properties are owned by citizens. And what they're doing is they have to have their kids, the grandchildren, to live with them because there's no affordable rent out there. Okay. And remember now, Governor Abercrombie, when he first came to office,
mm-hmm.
he wanted to tax the income of senior citizens on their pensions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, if he did that, you know what he would do? He would erode our economy even more into a recession.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, we are surviving on a retirement system.
Right.
Because who buys most of your consumable goods? The retirees, for themselves and for their families.
Mm-hmm.
So if you tax them, then you're going to have more welfare situation in the state of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And a fixed income. By the way, on this eliminating the home exemption on senior citizens, you're going to force people to sell their homes.
Right.
It's going to be more of a burden on government, state and city, to find affordable rental units now.
but they're selling them off, the affordable homes off, and not really aggressively building new ones.
No, no. And you know what? Within the state of Hawaii, Department of Housing,
mm-hmm.
in terms of applicants for affordable rental, there are over 10,000 on the waiting list right now.
Right.
And a six-year waiting list.
Are you talking about the Hawaiian homeland? No.
No, I'm talking about overall, affordable housing, no matter what race you are.
Yeah, exactly. Affordable home. Just,
yeah.
And there's no such thing in Hawaii now. In a couple more years, especially with these administrators moving forward to... Mm-hmm. I don't believe... go ahead, you still got
and then also here, number nine, is any property that's valued over $1 million, you have a higher income taxable property tax. Yeah.
Even though you may be retired, but your house is...
Because it's based on assessed value.
Right, of the assessed value of the property, where you may have spent $45,000 for it originally, but location.
Right. Like if you build Ohana, mm-hmm. and Ohana is two houses attached.
Right.
You build for your family. Right. But the value... Say the house value $400,000,
mm-hmm.
and because you build an addition, which is a two-story home
right.
rather than a one-story mm-hmm. in the front, basically your value can jump up to over $1 million.
Right, because you've enhanced it and you've improved it in the total value.
Right,
so there's more taxes.
Yeah, and you have no desire to sell the property at all.
Right,
you just want to live there with your family. Okay. So what they're doing, they're discriminating against you, quite frankly.
Right.
And lastly, is to tax timeshares. That makes sense,
mm-hmm.
because you're making money.
Right.
You're not actually living there.
Yeah.
But, you know, all in all, basically, I introduced a bill when I was in the city council.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like patterned after California. And they called it Proposition 13. But it was amended after
right.
many times, and it's really fair.
Mm-hmm.
If you have no intention of selling your house, your property tax is more stabilized. Okay? Yeah, there's an increase, but it is not based on market value. Market value is when you intend to sell your house, or you do sell your house, then you shouldn't profit from it, right? Basically.
Right.
Now, your property tax should be based on affordability and the cost of living. Okay, our cost of living is very high. There was an article in the Star Advertiser. For a family of four, you have to make $78,000 a year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you're considering in terms of that's rent or mortgage, plus all your daily needs, your food, your transportation for gasoline, and, you know, very bare essentials when you think about it. $78,000. Who makes $78,000?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most couples, even husband and wife, they have to have four jobs to make that kind of money.
Yeah.
Or three jobs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Between the two of them.
So, if I could,
yeah,
just get your opinion.
Sure.
Do you think this thing with the is an example of how the shortcomings or the failures in government, especially in this administration, because there's a rail sitting over here where a great amount of attention is going. Let's take the trash. Is this about maintenance and all of those things failing and trying to force the condominium owners into going to private so that money can go to the H Power? What safeguards are there that we can't use monies from H Power to go to the rail to fund some of the same things in rail? Who's going to pick up the trash, for example, on rail? Is that going to come out of the property tax for that? Is it supporting itself? Is it standalone? Does it have its own money for trash pickup? You got to have that. Is it possible that they are setting this up to be everywhere they can divert money without having to show accountability to fund real activity?
Well, let me say this in generality. Your property tax is a hidden tax which covers a lot of expenses of mm-hmm. services. And it's like having a car. You buy a car. Okay? The car is made up in terms of the four tires and your seats in the car, your steering wheel, mm-hmm. and so forth, your engine, okay, your components. But your property tax is a catch-all. What they should be done in terms of evaluating these 10 bill proposals on increasing property tax,
mm-hmm.
yeah, residential, commercial, what have you, and nonprofit, is to evaluate what are we spending the money for.
Right.
Okay? Yes, I see it in terms of increasing property tax to pay for the operation and maintenance of the future rail.
Right.
How else are you going to pay for it? Right now, in all honesty, we're in a deficit. You heard of Detroit being bankrupt. We are technically bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with Abercrombie, the governor. We are bankrupt, technically.
I know we're ethically bankrupt.
Yeah, we're bankrupt. You know, we are living on a cash basis of how much projected taxes.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the governor and the mayor has the constitutional right. The governor in the Constitution of Hawaii and also the mayor in the city charter has the right to withhold spending on the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Depending on terms of the revenues coming in on a cash basis. What the city council or the state legislature does is a projection of the income coming in the revenue. Technically, we are living in a negative. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
that's why, you know, in terms of the trash pickup, we got to evaluate in terms of what is necessary
mm-hmm.
in terms of providing to the public and what is private mm-hmm. services. And where's the fairness and equity in terms of servicing the apartments and the condominiums besides the single-family homes?
One of the things that I was chuckling about was that they were talking about they being Kaikina and others about they're going to revisit this and look at this process. One thing I noticed, not a single one of them spoke about reviewing the union relationships, reviewing how the overtime, the abuses, and all of those things, and guys just hanging around, falling asleep in the office because they have to have a superintendent on the grounds. And I have actually tracked and followed some of the superintendents here and there and see them go to the California pizza kitchen with their girlfriend or go to the gym, while the requirement is that you must be someone must be on duty in the superintendent's level or something like that. If there's a truck out on the road, well, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and the guy's down at the California Pizza Kitchen or sitting down on the beach working on his suntan. But he's drawing overtime. See, they don't speak of speaking of that. I believe that the cost could be minimized in affording the folks overtime. They spoke about lack of manpower. Well, if you got the budget and you got the money, why are we do we have a lack of manpower? Why are you buying trucks to cover these routes when you know you don't have the men to drive them, right? So it sets up a climate for theft, for abuse on both levels, at the level of the superintendent levels, and then he can sit there and have a kingdom and play favors with workers and give some, you know, leave routes open for some, or leave routes open for himself, depending on what level of supervisory level he is, or he or she. So they need to speak to the human elements of this and the frailties too, because if not, it'll never get fixed.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's, again, it's basic on productivity and efficiency. I give you a good example, which is very efficient and productive, is a city bus service.
Oh, my God.
And boy, it has supervisors waiting at the stops,
yeah,
making sure you're on time.
Right.
And they get comments from the passengers.
Mm-hmm.
They're open to it. You know, in order to fix problems, you got to be open to the problems and criticism from the users.
Right.
Right. If one is not willing to do so, you're not going to fix the problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you were saying, in terms of our other guests supposed to be here.
Right.
Not come in here and try to say, okay, how can we resolve the problem? We know the problem exists, but how are we going to resolve it? Once you shy away from the problem, that means that you're guilty.
Right.
Quite frankly.
Well, Lori Kahikina, if you're listening, or whoever's listening for you, I think that it's a sad commentary. I should be viewed as a resource, no matter how palatable or unpalatable you think I am, or how I say it or deliver it. The truth is the truth. So by you not coming on the show or following through, that just simply means you're not honest with the people, and the administration is not honest, and they don't want to be honest. You follow? They don't want to be. So my hat's off to them. They stay on their side of the track, I'll stay on mine. I'll make sure that I every effort I do is put the train on the track and keep it running straight and forward and saving the taxpayer money or any wrongdoings. Whatever they plan on doing, just know that many, many, many people called me and report these things. So I take it that if you shun me, then you're shunning the truth, and no problem. I won't take it personal. That's why I say ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
You know, Carol, what you've done is you open up a basic concern in terms of our property tax. A property tax is a general tax that covers different services. And this is a time to reveal the need for what are we paying out of the property tax.
Good morning, Carl. Do you have a comment or question?
Very quick. Your best customers are the customers who complain. Thank you very much.
All righty. Thank you.
Yeah, I fully agree. You know, and you got to take on the challenge of listening to the public out there, and finding out how to better service them, right? And use their money wisely. Again, taxation with representation.
Right. Oh yeah. I wish the groundswell of the number of calls. This morning I had 24 calls on my recorder, and they were about Portlock, about various locations where the trash isn't being picked up, or where there's problems and the trucks are, you know. And Caldwell and his administration don't believe they could come here. Well, if you could tell them, just if they want to learn something, and if they can't come in and face the two of us or sit and be in amongst us, carolcox.com. We're going to post it no matter where. You can run to the newspaper and get a nice clinical and you know, sanitized version of it. We're going to put it to you just the way the trash falls out of the truck, dirty and nasty. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is, right?
You know what we can do, Carol? We can echo after this show that the public needs to get involved in government.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. Number one, demand that the night public hearings on these 10 bills of property tax assessment.
Night
hearings, not
so that
daytime.
People can be there that's not working.
Right.
And participate in the process.
Right. And not at City Hall.
Right.
Use in terms of the state capitol, auditorium, mm-hmm. or school facility.
School facility, and yeah. that way it's right there, 7 yeah. o'clock, and the public can come and...
Right. Go out into the different areas,
mm-hmm.
east, west, central, okay? All the different communities, right? It's been done before.
Mm-hmm.
And take on, in terms of the comments or suggestions in terms of how people want to be taxed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite sure there's going to be a loud voice in terms of against, a loud voice from the senior citizens against
right.
taking away the exemptions mm-hmm. on property tax. You don't forget, you're killing off their affordability to have a living space. They're going to make them homeless, quite frankly.
Oh, yeah, and it's plausible that
yeah.
it's the way things are unfolding.
Yeah. So if you want to tax bear making land, yeah,
mm-hmm.
people who are making money off the land, homeowners do not make money off the land.
Right. They just own the property. And,
right. And secondly, Foster City Council and the mayor to assist the usage of property tax to pay for expenses. What kind of expenses are they paying?
Right.
Then you can really figure out in terms of how property tax should be charged to landowners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you joining me. And then before I close, I'll give you a couple of minutes after
sure.
this. But what I'm going to shift gears and but I will say to you, we'll keep watching this this trash thing. As you know, we've been there digging in the trash, dumpster diving, to bring you the truth. And what the truth is that it costs money. Money is being squandered. Trucks are being purchased. They can't use them. Won't use them. No manpower. 50% of the fleet is sitting, being waiting to repair. They have, for example, they store over there in the facility 90 tires. And we know how many tires one truck uses. So why do they wait to have, why not have adequate number of tires that would service the fleet on hand rather than waiting for the last minute? So these kinds of things, they're simple. But if you're distracted with the rail, and you really have some other objective rather than service to the people, you're going to forever have these problems. We'll forever have cause to sit on there and talk about them. But anyway, what I want to move on to one subject and before we close and let
sure.
it run. I want you to watch something, and this is one of those pre-I told you so moments. I'm going to write something up, and maybe next week we'll talk about it. Hawaiian Homelands. I want you to pay close attention to Governor Neil Abercrombie. And I want you to see he is probably going to take the Hawaiian Homelands, and I have cause to believe and good information that his intentions is to take the Hawaiian Homeland and turn it into a campaign platform. One of his planks in there, while he has done nothing but rip and shred and appointed Joby Masagatani, it's dysfunctional, and he has no need or intention to fix it. And I have cause and good information from internally, from his cabinet levels and all, that he's going to make this an issue, and they're going to go back and do the RPs, revocable permits, and you're going to have so many days to fix it. This is, he's putting this face on to look, give the appearance that he's doing something, when in fact he's doing little nothing. He put Darrell Young in there, who doesn't know his left hand from his right hand when it comes to the law and Hawaiian homelands and all. It's a sad occasion. But be watchful, and I say to you that as insulting as it is, he is going to come back and tell you what good he's doing for the Hawaiian people. When, where has he been in this entire process, these articles, my conversations on air to expose him? Where has he been? So the revocable permits, he is now, I have information where people in his administration say they have to be careful and not give preference to the Hawaiians, the native Hawaiians, to get rent, get land, or get leases for commercial or what have you, because it may be triggering, it may possibly trigger a similar Kamehameha Schools thing. So this whole administration is cockeyed when it comes to justice for native Hawaiians. So be forewarned, and I'll come back with greater details and greater statements that I'm privy to in the future, near future, to say be watchful. Anything that he offers you is only going to be a campaign speech and a promise. Tell him to put it out now. Write it in, put it in writing now. Commit to it now. And we don't need the campaign spending or campaign promises. Rob, before I close, go ahead. 1 minute, we got to...
Well, sure. Thank you very much. And, you know, I want to conclude by saying thank you, Carol. And it's been a great pleasure being on here, freely talking in terms of government productivity and efficiency. For 31 years, I have been in public services. And, you know, if it's built within me, I still want to do it. I still want to help people. I enjoy helping people. And people ask you why. And I started thinking about it. Like I said earlier, what is right is right. And that's how I was raised, by my parents. You know, I can help people, and I want to help people, by showing the structure and process of state and city governments to resolve their problems. So be free to call me. My cellular number is area code 808-216-5454. And it's free of charge, basically. It's just that desire to help people.
216-5454.
Right.
5454.
Right. And also in closing, again, what is right is right.
Yeah. Okay. Thank hey, thank you, Rod. And this is the Carol Cox Show. We'll see you next week. And do call in and let the management know that your wishes, if you have, and I want to accommodate this. If there's a need or necessity to change schedules for some of you to listen to Polka instead of me. But anyway, it's all good for the station, whatever's good. And we'll see you next week. Aloha, carolcox.com. Aloha.
Hey, thank you very much.
All right. How
you
doing?
Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and cotton is high. Your dad is rich, and your ma is good looking.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show. Heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI Honolulu. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.